Right now, though, we're heading to Washington, D.C. for the Vice President and Council of and Global Government Affairs of the National Pork Producers Council, Nick Giordano. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Mick. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. But you're maybe happier as the TPP is finally done.
MPPC is pleased that these long and complicated negotiations are over. But we can't celebrate too long because we've got a big job now ahead of us of rounding up the votes to get it through the Congress.
That is a major issue. And there's a lot of Congress that doesn't like, you know, segments of this deal.
Well, what MPPC and I think a lot of the other pro-trade groups are trying to do at this point is just to convince members to keep their powder dry. The agreement's not public yet. It'll be a while before it's fully made public. USTR is making summaries available. But we hope that members will wait, will go through it carefully, and keep in mind that nothing is perfect. No marriage is perfect. No family is perfect. No company is perfect. But we've got a lot at stake here. The Asia-Pacific region is the fastest-growing economic region in the world. Obviously, strategically, it's a very important geopolitical area for the United States. And we, all of us, have to ask the question, are we better off with or without this deal? Now, MPPC isn't going to come out publicly until we get the full details, but we're confident it's going to be very good for pork. And this is a very important region of the world, the fastest growing in the world. So I think this is very important for the United States. We hope that members of Congress and citizens, consumers and businesses, farmers, ranchers, workers, will just wait, take a look at this, and give it a lot of thought. It's very, very important.
Yeah, Nick, you mentioned family. I was going to use the analogy that, you know, say, for example, your wife has been trying to, this deal has been worked on since initiated in late 2008. It's really hardly, heavily negotiated for the last 5 years. Say, for example, your wife has been trying to teach you to put the toilet seat down for 5 years. She's probably not going to complain about when you finally got, you learned how to do that. So as now all the cabinet members of Congress did say positive things about it, including USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. This is a, you know, saying this is a good thing. But obviously, they're a little obligated. Their boss wants this thing done. So, but what kind of devil is in the details, do you think?
Well, I think for pork, it's going to be a very, very good agreement. I mean, MPPC has been intimately involved, you know, since the negotiations were announced. I think for pork, and again, we're going to wait, as other sectors are going to wait, to make a final decision until the deal's public. But I think on balance, it's going to be a very good deal. And I think there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, a perfect family, a perfect company. It's there are likely going to be some sectors of the economy, some companies that don't like it. But we've got to ask the question on balance, is the United States of America better off with or without this? And we've got to realize that there are 11 other countries involved. This has been a very complicated undertaking. In any negotiation, you don't want all you want.
Mm-hmm. The pork exports are heavily dependent on trade deals, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. The U.S. on average the past 10 years has been the number one exporter of pork in the world. FTAs are a major reason why. We now export more pork to the 20 FTA partner countries we have than to the rest of the world combined. It's amazing, and it's all due to free trade agreements. And if you look at the numbers, and they're on the USTR website for agriculture as a whole or even broader, the economy as a whole, it's the same story. Now, for the economy as a whole, it's not over 50%, but it's close. It's a very significant big number. There's no question when people are objective and they put aside, and I understand there are concerns in various sectors, and this is a big deal, But when you look at this from 33,000 feet and ask, is this good for the United States? I think the answer is going to be the same as the past 20 FTAs. Yes, on balance, it's good, except here, the stakes are much higher. We've got a 12-nation regional free trade agreement, and I'd argue what's at stake is nothing less than U.S. credibility in the Asia-Pacific region, the fastest-growing economic region in the world.
The only problem is, Nick, one of the biggest, the 800-pound gorilla over there, China, is not in on this.
Well, we hope at some point that China does come into this. Obviously, U.S.-China relations are a little bit tense right now, and never mind that, China isn't a founding member. So, you know, this deal will have to go through the U.S. Congress and the other 11 legislatures. That'll take a while. I think adding countries to this agreement is going to happen. It's clear the U.S. and the other countries have said this is a living agreement. Countries like South Korea, the Philippines, Thailand, Colombia, Taiwan are lining up to come in at some point, probably in the next administration. Assuming Congress passes this and it's implemented, then it's going to expand.
There are other groups like the American Feed Industry Association, National Corn Growers, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, again, all saying we applaud the conclusion of the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. But the National Farmers Union saying there is not any thing related to currency manipulation, and currency manipulation by a country like China could kind of negate all of the positive results of any kind of a trade deal could do. Where are you on that?
No, I don't agree. First of all, China is not a member of TPP.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, currency manipulation is not something that's under WTO jurisdiction. It's an IMF, you know, treasury issue. It's very difficult to incorporate in trade deals. And, you know, MPPC is not naive. We know that currencies affect trade flows. We also know that the Federal Reserve of the United States has been very active in influencing markets. So you have to be careful what you ask for here. But the reality is China isn't part of this market. Mm-hmm. And the question is, does the United States benefit from free trade agreements? The evidence is amazing. We do. And then the question becomes, are we going to turn our back on the fastest growing economic region in the world? We can't make the perfect the enemy of the good here. There is no such perfect trade agreement, just like there's no such thing as a perfect marriage or a perfect company.
Right. All right. Visiting with Nick Giordano, who is Vice President and Counsel, Global Government Affairs for the National Pork Producers Council. One of the countries that is involved with the TPP is Canada. Do we have any issues regarding hogs, pork production, and trade in between Canada and the U.S. that could get resolved or maybe looked at closer with this agreement?
Not really. Unlike, and for most of agriculture and most of the U.S. economy, the answer is no, because under the U.S.-Canada Free Trade Agreement, which was implemented in 1989, and it's the U.S.'s first major FTA, most tariffs were eliminated. But, you know, if you're in dairy or poultry, that wasn't the case. I'm not familiar with the terms of, you know, what Canada may have given the United States on dairy in this negotiation, but those would be two obvious areas. But then, moreover, the issue becomes a supply chain issue. And, you know, North America is very competitive with our energy to North America. And they're coming back here to North America, and there are important supply chain synergies to having both Mexico and Canada in the TPP for the United States, and I think that's a positive thing.
All right. Nick, what have you heard? What is the timetable for getting all of the details on the TPP?
I don't think the administration knows when they're, you know, this is a Herculean undertaking, a big, you know, 12-nation agreement and getting all the I's dotted and T's crossed. So I don't think anybody knows when the entire text will be made public. It will be under the Trade Promotion Authority law. Certain things have to happen, and one is making the agreement public. It will happen. I think USTR already is rolling out some important summaries. So, under the Trade Promotion Authority law, you know, we couldn't have a vote this year in the Congress. So we're talking about, you know, probably a vote next year. Obviously, before that, all this will be public. And we've got, you know, not just a vote in our Congress, but the 11 other countries as well. I think the earliest we could be looking at implementation here would be January 2017. But, you know, there's a lot of hard work to do between now and then. First and foremost is convincing a majority of the members of the U.S. Congress that this agreement is in America's best interest. When we get more of the details in the agreement, we'll be better informed and in a better position to do that.
All right. Nick Giordano, Vice President and Counsel, National Pork Producers Council. Nick, I feel better informed now. Thanks a lot for filling us in, and you've been very, very helpful and informative. Thank you much.